Amen. Amen. How are you guys doing this morning? Doing pretty good? Out on another cold Sunday, snowy Sunday. You know, I think it's snowed just about every single Sunday since January 1st, so what a surprise it would snow yet again on a Sunday. So I'm glad that you made it out here and that you're able to come out and worship. And it's exciting for me to be up here teaching here at Shine. I love to teach at Shine. Pastor Chad is gone this weekend. He's with a group of high school students on a retreat. So in his absence, it's fun to be able to be preaching or teaching this Sunday at Shine. If you didn't already, I look around the room and I see quite a few people have Bibles, but if you didn't have a chance during Shake a Hand and Grab a Bible, go ahead and jump up real quick and grab a Bible. I'm going to be teaching this morning from Psalm 51. So you can go ahead and open up your Bibles to Psalm 51. Psalms is pretty much right in the middle of the Bible, so find it, crack it open, and follow along here in the scriptures. From Psalm 51. It reads, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are right with your verdict and just when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time that my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in my womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of the bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart you, O God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifice of the righteous, in the burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on their altars." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So did you guys get some coffee when we did Shake a Hand, Grab a Bible? Did you have a chance to get some more coffee? Did you fill up your coffee mugs? I'm a huge coffee drinker. I love coffee. I try to cut it off by about 2 o'clock, otherwise I'm going to be up all night. But I love coffee. So I brought a coffee mug in this morning that's really special to me. A roommate of mine from college gave me this coffee mug, and she knew I was a coffee addict, and so I have lots of travel coffee mugs. I have all sorts of coffee mugs at home. But what's really unique about this coffee mug is that my friend made it for me. So it's a mug like no other. She went to an art place where you get to choose pottery that's already been created. So the artist has already made the mug or the bowl or the plate or the cup or whatever piece of ceramic it is. But then you get to go in and you get to paint it. So you get to glaze it. And then you come back a few days later after it's been fired in the kiln and you get to pick up your piece of artwork. So this coffee mug is something that I really cherish. It has a relationship behind it. It's a dear friend that gave it to me. And so not only is this a great gift because she knows I love coffee, but it was a homemade gift. And how often nowadays do you guys actually get a homemade gift, a handmade gift, something really special? It's an irreplaceable gift that I received from my friend. But if you take a look at if I flip it around, take a look at my coffee mug, you're going to see that the handle's broken off. A couple years ago when I was in seminary, I was in my kitchen and I dropped my mug on the floor and I was absolutely crushed. It's an irreplaceable gift, right? I dropped it on the floor and so the handle broke off. And I was so frustrated. I wasn't going to have another mug like this created again. And I was so irritated that I just kind of picked up the pieces from off the ground and shoved them inside and put the lid on and put it in a top shelf in my kitchen cupboard and tried to forget about it. I was so bummed that I'd broken it. And I kind of always had this intention that I would glue the pieces back together and somehow it would work, you know, all cracked and it would work. I thought I'd super glue it back on, but the pieces were so shattered it wasn't going to be able to work to put it back together again. So I kind of forgot about my mug. It's up on the kitchen shelf in my seminary apartment. And then when I'm moving to Michigan to come work at this church, I'm pulling out boxes, I'm unpacking stuff, and I come across this darn mug. And this time when I look at this mug, all of a sudden I see it in a brand new light. It's the same one that says to Lindsay with love from Amanda, but all of a sudden I'm looking at this mug and I see it in a completely different light. This time when I look at the mug, I see a theological lesson behind it. That is, I see a lesson of faith that just kind of stares back at me from this mug. I see a lesson of faith. This mug clearly reminds me that life is not perfect, and there are things that don't always go according to our plan, right? Life's not perfect. Sometimes accidents happen. Those perfect mugs that we're holding in life, they drop, whatever that mug might be. And this mug also reminds me more so that life's not perfect. This mug reminds me that we're not perfect. We have brokenness. We have flaws. We have failures. We're a sinner. We have rough spots, just like this mug. So that's the first lesson I've learned, my theological insight I've learned from this great coffee mug. You got to learn something when you're drinking so much coffee. You start to stare at it for a while and learn that there's this theological lesson behind it. There's a second lesson I learned from this coffee mug. I'm gonna talk about that a little bit later. But there's a great person that's a perfect example of someone who's not perfect, someone who has brokenness in their life, someone that has a few rough edges around them. And that person I want to talk about this morning is David. David didn't have it all together. You probably know David as the guy who took down Goliath, right? He slung the slingshot and right in the middle of the eyes. That's David. You probably know him as the shepherd boy. He's the guy that had the musical talent. Maybe it's the harp or some other musical talent. You also know David as king. And then in his weakest moments, we know David as the man who committed adultery with Bathsheba and then eventually ended up killing her husband. So it's from that experience that he wrote Psalm 51. It's from the experience of committing adultery and then murdering that he wrote Psalm 51. So from the depths of his soul, David cried out to God, "Have mercy on me, God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David is writing this Psalm 51 in that context of having really messed up, having done some pretty terrible stuff. And he writes this psalm, and when we read the psalms, we know that psalms are poetry. They're songs. And we know that if you study scripture, we know that the Psalm 51 is considered a psalm of petition. There's seven other psalms among all of the psalms that are songs of petition. That is, that they are psalms where you're really pleading to God for forgiveness. You've really messed up. And they're prayers of plea, praying for forgiveness from God. So I want you to pull out your Bible for a moment. What did I do with my Bible here on my phone here? I want you to pull out your Bible and take a look at the first couple of verses. The beginning, David outlines his psalm by starting with this great appeal for God's mercy. So I want you to find Psalm 51 and read the first two verses of Scripture and see how he's really appealing to God for mercy. Go ahead and read those quietly to yourself. David then goes on to confess his sins before God. In the next couple of scripture verses, verse 3 to 5, go ahead and read those and see how he's coming before God, confessing his sin. And then David continues on yet again in his psalm, and he makes this plea, and it's a plea for cleansing and for renewal and creating in him a new heart, a transformation. So read the next verses, verses 6 through 12. Go ahead and read those. Did you read that? Do you see how he's asking for cleansing and renewal and asking for a transformation of his heart? Those are the words that we sang this morning as TJ led us in song. We sang those words, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." David then ends his psalm with a vow of thanksgiving, and he asks for some further petitions. So go ahead and finish out the psalm. It's starting at verse 13 to the end. Go ahead and read that to yourself. See that? So these words of David's psalm make great sense to us, knowing the context from which he's writing. He's writing having admitted doing some very terrible actions, having committed some very terrible acts, and he's asking God for forgiveness. But more so than just asking for forgiveness and trying to make the amends, he's going one step farther, and he's asking that God would transform him, to change him, to create in him a new heart, to start over again, not just saying, "God, forgive me," but, "God, change me, mold me, make me into something new." And we all know that all of us sitting here, right, we're like that mug, we're imperfect, we have some flaws and failures, there's rough spots in us too. And so we know that all of us mess up, and we need to ask God for forgiveness. There's things we haven't done quite right in our life. But not only do we need to ask God for forgiveness, it's about asking God to transform us from the inside out, to change our hearts, to change our lives. And maybe we haven't done something like commit murder or adultery, but there are certainly things in our lives that we're not very proud of, right? And I think to begin doing this, we have to take an honest look at ourselves. And so I want to take a few moments. You'll notice this morning in worship, we normally have prayer. But this morning, our worship service looks a little different because I wanted to have prayer time in our teaching moment together, to create a little space for you to have some personal self-reflection, to take an inward look at your own heart, and to see how God might be needing to create in you a new heart. So let's take a few moments in admitting the spaces and the places where you've maybe messed up and you want to start afresh with God. So I would just invite you to spend a few moments in quiet prayer. Loving God, we know that in the silence, you hear the cries of our heart. You hear our prayers of concern, our prayers of joy, and we know that you hear those spaces and our places in our lives where we're not quite doing it right. Lord, we admit we're not perfect, but we know that you love us despite our flaws and our failures. So God, strengthen us to start anew. Lord, create in us a pure heart, a clean heart, and renew us with a steadfast spirit. Amen. This Psalm 51 is a really important psalm for us to be looking at this time of the year, because it theologically reflects and matches what season we're about ready to enter. Christians every year go through a season that specifically acknowledges our need for forgiveness and our needs for transformation, admitting this brokenness before God and transforming our hearts and minds. And of course, this season that we're about ready to enter into is Lent, right? You probably know that Lent starts on Ash Wednesday, and then it goes for 40 days as we journey from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection. And so as we're journeying through Lent, it's a time of remembering the temptation and the time that Jesus spent out in the desert as he fasted and as he prayed. And as we start this Lenten journey, we kick it off with Ash Wednesday, which is this Wednesday, the 5th of March. And here at our church, we're going to have multiple worship services throughout the day. And when you come to worship, the pastors, myself and Pastor Chad and Pastor Lori and Pastor Gary, we'll have a time of taking ashes that we burned from last year's palms. And we take the ashes and we mark the sign of the cross on your forehead or on your palm. And it becomes a sign of our mortality. It becomes the sign of need for forgiveness, of need of repentance, right? And it's a sign of our human brokenness and our need for transformation. So as we enter this Lenten season, as we're about ready to start this time, it also becomes a time of intentionally growing deeper in our relationship with God. Now around Lent, people think about fasting and giving things up. So some people choose to grow in their relationship with God by fasting, right? You might choose to give up food on one day of the week, like Wednesday morning from breakfast until dinner, or you might choose to give up certain types of food like chocolate or sweets or, you know, fast food. Or you might choose to fast from activities. You might choose to say, you know, this Lent I'm giving up TV or I'm giving up video games. And in place of those things that you would be doing, or in place of that time that you had spent eating those meals or enjoying a Hershey's chocolate bar, you're supposed to take that time and use it to read scripture and prayer. But not everybody can fast. Some people might have a few health concerns. So other ways that Christians choose to grow in their faith intentionally during Lent is to practice different spiritual disciplines. Now, you might be wondering, what the heck is a spiritual discipline? Well, you're familiar with them. You might just not be familiar with that vocabulary. So if spiritual disciplines is scripture and prayer and coming to our midweek worship services, or it's joining in a small group. And this during Lent this year, we're going to have a series, a variety of different small groups for you to sign up in. And we'd really encourage you to get connected to a small group, because there you're going to have an opportunity for fellowship and prayer and joining with other Christians in the faith to grow in your relationship with God. So Lent becomes this time of an intentionally growing in our relationship with Christ, whether that's done through fasting or spiritual disciplines. But in order to really grow in our relationship with Christ, we first have to come to this place of admitting our brokenness and our flaws and our failures, those things I've been talking about this morning, in order to really grow in our relationship with God. And so I told you that was one of the first lessons I saw when I looked at this mug, was the brokenness, and that can be us. But there's a second lesson when I see this mug and I look at it. I see that even though it's broken, it's still beautiful, right? When you look at it, it's still broken, but it's beautiful. And that's us. You know, we're not perfect. We don't have our acts together all the time. And so we're broken, yet we are still beautiful, because we are beautiful children of God, created in God's image, that can do amazing, wonderful things in this world. And even though we have a few rough edges, we're still beautiful. Even though we don't always have our life together, we're still beautiful. And this morning, we're going to be sharing in the sacrament of Holy Communion. It's a time where we gather around the table. We gather around the communion table, and I would invite the band to come forward. They're going to be sharing with us some music during communion. And as we gather around the communion table this morning, we acknowledge that we come with brokenness. But when we come to the communion table, somehow we leave whole. We bring our brokenness, and we find healing and wholeness. We come to the communion table acknowledging our rough edges. And when we come to the table, somehow those spots are smoothed out. and they're not rough anymore. We come to the communion table not having our act together, and we experience God in this place. We experience an amazing way of connecting with God and growing in our relationship with God. I invite you to the communion table this morning, no matter if you're a member of this congregation or if you're a visitor of this congregation. All people are welcome here, whether if you have been coming a long time or you're new. You're welcome at this communion table, whether you're young or you're old, if you're a child or a teenager. You're welcome at this space. You're welcome if you're rich or you're poor or you're white or you're black or you're gay or you're straight. You're welcome at this communion table because it's a place of taking our brokenness and finding healing. It's a place of taking our rough edges and being smoothed out and becoming beautiful. It's a place of laying it all before God and experiencing God's amazing love. You know, on the night when Jesus gathered with his disciples, he gathered with them in an upper room. And he visited with them and he broke bread. He broke bread and he shared it with the disciples. And he told them, "This is my body which is broken for you. Every time you eat of this bread, do it in remembrance of me." And so we eat the bread this day remembering Christ. And after they had been together for a while in that upper room, after supper, then he took a cup. Took a cup. In our tradition, we use grape juice. And he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks to God for it. And he told them that this is the blood of a new covenant that's been being poured out for them. This is his blood being shed for all of us. And so we gather around the communion table this morning in remembrance of these amazing, mighty acts that he has done for us through Christ. Let us pray together. Loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Lord, make them be for us the body of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ that's redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all of the world until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, all power and honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. It's broken, but it's still beautiful, isn't it? We have rough spots in our life. We're a work in progress, and our rough spots get smoothed out when we come to this table. If you're a person who's interested in signing up for a small group to help grow in your relationship with God, you can do so in the fellowship hall. If you're a person that's going to be fasting and giving up food and sweets and chocolates, I want to give you one last chance to enjoy some chocolate. So on the way out of Shine, we have our ushers, they're holding baskets of chocolate. And the Shine mugs over there, grab a coffee mug, fill it up with chocolate. You can go out the door, and it'll remind you that your Shine mug and the chocolate. So go in peace. Enjoy your week. Happy Lent.